From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Just for a second, Tim. I know you don't want to lose any of your airtime. It's your reaction. Critique the kid. You've been... Like the intro says, radio football radio.
I like radio, and then back to radio. Very smooth, maybe a little bit more emotion.
More emotion, okay.
Yeah, a little bit more emotion, a little bit more pizzazz. Okay. But it's a good job. Very nice job.
I thought so too. Hit his time cues.
I like he put his hand up for the to get to the sound.
For the sound, yeah.
Nice. Very nice. Good job.
Well done.
Were you nervous? Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, having your big fat ass sit next to him would scare anybody.
Well, yeah, I'd be nervous too if some big fat ass sat next to me.
Honestly, just more worried that Rob's gonna make fun of me because Rob does that a lot.
Rob is really mean to the interns.
Is he? He's just basically a glorified intern as it is right now.
I wouldn't say he's as mean to the interns as much as he just likes to poke fun at them a lot.
Okay.
Likes to laugh at their mistakes.
No, if we're to talk mean to the interns, that's Jake.
Jake is me.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Jake is me. But now Jake weighs about 140 pounds. He could just kick his butt. I mean, gosh. How much weight has Jake lost? He looks like a walking skeleton around here.
Jake?
He's lost a full shadow.
He's lost a person.
By the way, that's the other thing. Stand up, Shadow. All right. Give me your best guess on what that strapping lad weighs.
106 pounds.
That's what I said like 105.
And?
Oh, he's claiming 147.
No way.
If he's wearing...
He'd wrestle about 104.
Like
they'd have to drop 2 pounds.
If he had like $13 in pocket change, the biggest tag watch that was ever made, because they make some of those monster, or whoever makes that monster face watch, a couple of 60-year-old Italian man gold chains, you know, bracelets and whatnot.
Yeah, then maybe.
Maybe 125. Maybe. But no
are
way.
Are you feeding these people in this place? You look walking around, there's a bunch of skeletons walking around. You're like taking all the food, aren't you?
I am. That's clearly, I'm not wanting for food.
Oh,
that's not been an issue. All right, Dufresne, nice job, and you'll
good
be back
job.
Up again at 1.
That's correct.
So take Tim's critique. Talking about a professional coach.
A little bit more emotion. Get excited.
Professional broadcast.
Get excited about being on the air. Get fired up.
Yeah, bring a little. We've talked about it. I said, look, you have to be the center of attention.
Yeah. You just want to be background noise.
Yeah.
Speaking of background
noise. Channel your Tim Grunhard. I'm going to take a bat.
Yes.
That day.
Don't.
Play it. What do you mean? It's what it's in the system for.
Oh, boy.
It's either that or, hey, dude, where's my...
I don't even remember that. What are you talking about?
I'll play both of them then. Great moments in Tim Grunhard broadcasting history. Here they
dude,
are.
Dude, where's my dildo?
There's that one.
I don't know what that is. I don't know.
Clearly you.
that's a good one.
That's you, yeah. That's you wanting attention.
This was... This was many, many brain cells ago.
Not real happy with it.
Oh,
there we go.
Not happy at all. And I'll make sure that if I see anybody quitting or putting their head down or stick a bat up their ass.
The best is the way you rub your face. Like the dildo one, no problem. You're okay with listening to that.
I don't know.
That's okay.
I don't know what the context of that, the first one was. I can't remember that at all.
This one comes up and you just start rubbing your face. You get this anguished look. You're like, oh, God.
My God. Well, I mean, because I was very upset. And that was right after we lost to the Cardinals. And I think it was, gosh, 98.
You lost to the Cardinals?
Yes. At home, I think. At home. And I was like, you know, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. And guys were walking around and didn't seem to care. And that's what really – I went in the locker room. I thought it would be some
who didn't
people.
Care? Name a guy.
I can't remember. I don't even remember half the stuff. But guys were walking around and just – it just felt like it was like just another day at the office. Nobody cared. And I was like, listen, you know, I think we lost 7 in a row. And that was like number 7. And it was at home to Cardinals.
Yeah, you did.
We, we should have beat, and was one of those. Where I mean, and the week before, Neil Smith gave out because he was doing the swings, the home run swing. So he gave out these bats. It was in my locker, so I was like, okay, what can I stick up? Somebody's, you know what? And that bat was there, so I figured that'd be a good thing to go ahead and do. So, but it is embarrassing.
Good to know. Good to know, Tim.
But you know, everything you say and do around here is on tape.
That's right.
So
that's
you
got to
be careful with what you say.
Well, shouldn't everybody live their life that way today with the cell phones and the way there's a video of everything? Live your life like you're being videotaped.
Let me just tell you one thing. Thank God there was no video phones and iPhones with, you know, cameras and all that stuff back in the early 90s. Thank God. At the levee. Yeah. I'd probably be in jail.
Really?
Oh, God.
You really think, like,
well, I mean, a lot of the
jail
stuff
that, or just
divorced? Certainly. Jail.
Well, that's got to make her feel good hearing it now.
She was at most of them. I mean, nothing like that, but just, you know, my wife, that's it. Enough. Enough craziness. So
your wife says that to you as well?
She does. Not anymore. I mean, I don't do anything anymore. I really don't.
I'm like that, too.
I really don't. I mean, guys, I am the lamest guy in the world now. Thank God, because I don't think I could do it again.
When you were told, all right, that's enough, did you consider, like, you know, like now you look back at it and go, yeah, I think she might have had a point.
Absolutely.
But at that moment, you're like, why is the fun police here?
Yeah.
Who brought the fun police?
Yeah.
We're just having a good time.
That's right. She used to sing that song, "You Ain't Much Fun Since She Quit Drinking," you know? But, you know, I mean, just back in the early days of O'Dowd's and coming home late nights, and golly, it's just, you know, so it's like, she's like, what's going on here? Enough's enough. She's either pick me or it. And I made the right decision, everybody out there.
Okay.
Made the right decision.
Good to know.
But eventually you grow up, and, you know, it took me a little bit longer. See, I had
and now even, and now she's, now
most
you
people,
never
though,
get any complaints now,
most,
right?
Well, yeah, but about different things. But you know, most people, and this is, you know, this kind of leads in, this really kind of leads into this Ezekiel.
Something of note, I hope.
What's his name?
Elliot.
Ezekiel Elliott and the issues he's having right now at the Cowboys.
I agree.
You know, I mean, he's out there. He just got in trouble again. He's, you know, three or four things in this offseason. He's caused some issues and some domestic violence, allegedly, some issues there. And, you know, getting in a fight with somebody on Sunday night. And, you know, the Cowboys are like, man, is this really worth it? And, you know, obviously they're going to say yes because they're going to keep him around because he's an unbelievable talent. But it's a distraction. And, you know, I think a lot of these guys, it takes some guys grow up faster than others. And in this day and age, if you're in the NFL, the NBA, or Major League Baseball, and you're out doing the things that these guys are doing, you're going to be exposed. So, I mean, if we all think about some of the crazier things we've done in our life, the last thing we want to do is have it on ESPN or on the cover of USA Today. But, you know, these young guys have to realize that that's going to happen. If the mistakes that you make are going to be exposed. You can't hide. You can't, you know, go into the shadows and get away from these things, because with your job and with your status and with the kind of money you're getting paid to be an entertainer, those things are going to come out. And I don't think that these guys realize it. And then, you know, and then
of course they don't. And like you just said, you didn't either.
I didn't. And, you know, like,
did you ever look, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'll shrink from this, but this latest incident with Ezekiel Elliott is that there was an alleged altercation between a woman who was with his group, his party, and a guy, and they were going at it, and Ezekiel ended up punching this guy in the face.
Right.
You ever have a situation where you punch somebody?
No. But
okay, see, that's where you draw a line.
You do. You can't.
You got to be able to understand
you get
that.
Get your buddy to do it.
Thanks, Chris Carter.
You don't do it.
Right.
That's why you have a posse.
That's thank you again, Chris Carter.
Yeah.
Speaking about what the posse is for is to handle the business that will get you arrested.
That's
so
right.
That you don't have to.
And then
to.
You pay for them to get out of jail.
Right. Okay. So did you ever have posse?
No.
No.
I didn't have a posse.
But you know, that's where you got to draw the line. Like, I get it, guys out and about, you know, like I Brock Osweiler, there's that TMZ video of him where he's picking up a pizza somewhere and a gal he's with is screaming and yelling, and he ends up getting shoved by a guy. He tries to hold the gal away from his gal, and so here comes her boyfriend and shoves him, and he can barely stand up. He's so drunk.
Yeah.
No, that was right after he signed the deal with the Broncos. With the Texans. Hadn't even played for him. Had just signed the deal. And it's like, okay, but then he got out of there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa, this is getting bad. I got to get out of here. Like, I get that you're going to be in a bad situation. He at least didn't punch anybody. He got the hell, like, that's it. We got to go. Not, I'm too big a man to let this guy get away with doing what he did to me, so I'm going to rain down on him. Like, you've got to understand you've got millions at stake, and your teammates counting on you to be ready to play.
Don't let the testosterone of being the big guy in that moment, you know, you got to defend somebody's honor. You know what? The NFL does a really good job, and I think they've gone away from it a little bit now, and they've done it some way different. But when I was younger, you know, guys would go to the rookie symposium with the NFL, and you would go and you would sit in these meetings, and you'd have, for lack of a better thing, role-playing, where guys, they would set something up, and you know, some guy comes in and says something disparaging about your girlfriend or your wife or whatever, just to kind of goad you in there, to get you to react, to get you to do something stupid like that. And you're put in a situation where there's alcohol, you know, there's adrenaline, you know, you're an aggressive, you know, person as it is, because you know you play in this sport that you have to tap into the aggressiveness in your
right.
in your soul, and you got to go and play. So they test you in these situations, and you know, and it's hard. You know, a lot of guys, I mean, they just can't hold back, and but they said, listen, a lot of people out there are trying to get you to react, trying to get you to do these kind of things for various reasons, and you have to kind of walk away, and that's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing for anybody to do. But let alone if you're somebody that's going to put yourself in a position where you're going to hurt yourself financially, you're going to hurt yourself, your team, you're going to hurt, you know, your city, you're going to hurt your image, all those kind of things, you've got to be smart.
So you played with a lot of guys. What's your gut tell you? Is Zeke Elliott going to be able to get this under control, or is this just the beginning of what is ultimately going to be a self-destructive personality?
I hate to say it, but I think it's a self-destructing. This is something that's not new. Even when he was in St. Louis back in the day, there was, you know, stories about him and some of the issues he had there. And, you know, sometimes guys just, you know, they think that they're bigger than the system. Sometimes guys think that, you know, that they can do whatever they want and then get out of it. And then eventually it catches up to them. So I'm hoping and praying that the kid can get over it. But it doesn't seem like it's something that he's going to get over with, you know, just kind of experience. Something's going to happen to either make him out of the league or to make him sit out for a while and maybe straighten it out, but it doesn't look good right now. And then you look on the other side, and you got a guy like Dak Prescott, another guy that, you know, from all the guys I've ever talked to, he likes to go out and have a good time, and, you know, he's not shying away from going to the bars and going to parties and doing those kind
of
things.
Well, he's got one confirmed DWI, and he admitted to having a couple more fixed at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
That was one of the things I was told about him coming out draft time, and I think it's one of the reasons why the Chiefs probably shied away from him, was that was known by all the NFL teams. That's part of the reason why he was there in the fourth round, was because they knew that in addition to the DWI he got right before the draft, that there were a couple that were fixed along the way down in Starkville.
Yeah, but the thing that he has that Ezekiel Elliott doesn't have is he's got the ability to kind of get away. He's smart enough to not put himself.
He hasn't been in any physical altercations.
Physical altercations with, you know, with anybody he's in a relationship with or anybody. You know, I mean, he's able to get away, and there are guys like that. We know those guys. Hey, listen. Football players aren't any different than the dude you hang around with in high school. There's a one guy that, you know, what all it takes is one little thing, and you know, uh-oh, here he goes again, and he's going to go and punch somebody out, or he's going to go look for a fight. And then you got the guy that you know that, hey, listen, let's hang around this guy because he's, you know, he's cool enough head, he's got a good head on his shoulders, will get out of bad situations. When you hang around that guy that's going to go and punch people out, you're going to get yourself in
bad
situations.
But what about when you are that guy? Like, Zeke Elliott is that guy.
Well, when you're that guy, then you know what? First of all, you don't really want those guys around the people in that locker room. You don't, because it's just going to cause more and more issues. That's why he's either got to get this thing straightened out, or he won't be long for this league. I don't care how good he is, because if you're dragging down, there's a big investments in these players, millions and millions of dollars, millions and millions of man hours that are put into putting together a roster. And if you have one person that's putting together that is destroying the roster you put together because of his actions and his lack of self-control, you don't want that guy on that roster. You don't want that guy in that locker room. You don't want that guy to be around the other people to lead him into bad things. Because, you know, This why and this is the dirty little secret. When we used to leave, when I was at KU, and it's like this at all schools, this 2 weeks coming up here within the next, well, I think it pretty much started, and that's why Notre Dame, my son Colin, who's there right now, he's in summer classes, and they start camp like 4 days later because they're not letting these guys go out and about like they did last year when they lost three or four guys because of incidences. But you look around and you see some of these colleges, you got about 2 weeks off. They put all this time and effort to build these guys up with strength and conditioning and build these guys up with all the drills they do. And then they go out and they get themselves in trouble in 2 weeks and they have suspensions. Some guys get kicked off of teams because of not making good decisions, going back and putting themselves in bad situations. And so, I mean, it's the same thing. You've got to make sure that you're putting yourself in a good situation and you're making the right decisions. And listen, we've all done that. I've made poor decisions in my life. You know what? You got to own up to them. You got to make sure you learn from them, then go on from that. And a lot of us learn because we grow up. A lot of us learn because, you know, you get yourself in financial straits because of decisions you make. And Ezekiel Elliott right now is in that position where he's either going to have to learn from, hey, listen, it's time to grow up, or he's going to learn from losing his job and losing money and losing a lot of the things that he's built himself up for.
All right, I want to talk about the expectations for the local schools. Big 12 Media Day is going on. Also talk about the fact that Kirk Cousins, Le'Veon Bell, and Tremaine Johnson are going to play under the franchise tag. Cousins, the first player in the history of the league to play under 2 years in a row. Tim Grunhardt is with us, football insider, life coach.
Have you heard about the mystery visit for Antoine Bolden? Where is Antoine Bolden taking a mystery visit this weekend?
And that too.
What about Anquan, though? Where's Anquan Bolden taking a visit?
Where's he going?
Anquan
Who's
or
better,
Antoine?
Anquan or Antoine?
You know what? Depends on how you spell it.
Okay, it does.
Right.
Pretty sure the guy who plays in the NFL has got a Q in there somewhere.
Well,
so
you know what? Good for him.
Good for him. Even deeper on that subject.
Is it Anquan? Did I say Anquan?
Yes.
Not Antoine?
No.
Anquan.
Okay.
Where's Anquan?
More on this subject next with
Tim. We just call him Big A.
Tim. Anything else?
That's it.
I don't want to try to like go out to break or anything if you've got more, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, I just, you know, I only had a certain amount of time here, and you just always, always use it up.
Tim was actually all bent out of shape that the intern was like, no, he's going to be on the same with us too. More with Mr. Maturity, Tim Grunhardt, next here in the program. Your Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Burnt end of the hour question. Yeah, see, I got to do that heavy lifting as well when Curtis isn't here. See what it, you know, it's not easy being me.
It's not easy.
Don't forget, guys. After a long day with the heat, who wants to cook? You can beat the heat with Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Of course, we all love Joe's Kansas City. Why not call ahead at any one of their three locations, 47th and Mission, the original in the gas station, 119th and String Line in Olathe, or right there in Leawood at 117th and Row. Ribs, pulled pork, smoked turkey, house-made sausage. They're great burnt ends. Nothing goes better with the Kansas City summer than Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. We just gave some away. Asked the question. It was on this date, 1999. David Cone threw a perfect game. Who threw the last perfect game? Royals faced him a couple of weeks ago. Was one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball. Is now trying to reinvent himself. Not quite as dominant as he used to be.
Verlander, maybe?
Good guess.
But wrong.
No. Just same ilk. Guys won a Cy Young. Big time strikeout guy, great nickname, Latin, but no longer is as dominant as he used to be.
I have no idea.
King Felix Hernandez.
Felix
Hernandez, or as you would call him, Antoine.
Antoine Hernandez.
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay.
Well, you teased it. Where's Bolden taking a visit?
I don't know. A lot of people are thinking Kansas City. Yeah, I think Kansas City because of Macklin leaving.
Would that be a good fit?
Yeah, I mean, the guy last year, you know, I think he had, nine touchdowns. He's a pretty good red zone receiver. The Chiefs have struggled in the red zone, especially in their passing game. And, you know, I think they have some room. I think they need a veteran type of wide receiver. They have some young guys. That there are some upside. I think the arrow's pointing up on a couple guys in that wide receiver core. But it would be nice to – Conley, the arrow's pointing up on him. I think that he's ready to have either a breakout year here or a better year. I thought last year he made some strides. So here there's a guy that I think, and that has an opportunity to make some good plays for the Chiefs this year. And, they have some young receivers that are guys that with some speed. And I do think they need a guy that's a dependable veteran guy that you can – throw the ball up to, and he can make some plays. And I think Bolden's one of those guys.
Well, I mean, he's definitely your short yardage, possession, move the chains type of guy.
Yep. And I don't think the Chiefs really have that. I mean, they have with the tight end, with Kelsey, he's kind of that guy, but it's a tight end. So, Conley has a lot of speed for the size that he has. And, so if you look at
Boy, you sure don't see it on the field, though, do you?
No, you don't. But he does have the speed.
I get why. I remember watching some videos that were on the internet about Chris Conley. I just love when guys are like, well, I was watching some tape. Mm-hmm. You're in the media. You weren't watching film or tape. Yeah. Relax. One of them broke down how long his stride is. And he was like, set back off the line like a couple yards. And they were showing how like in five strides, he was already passing the other Georgia wideouts. And they were all on some kind of go route, or at least long enough that they were all striding out there. And I'm like, wow, man, this guy really can go. You never see it.
Yeah, you don't
see
it.
Is that because the quarterback won't put it out there in front of him?
Yeah, I just don't think that this offense really lends to, having a guy, running those deep fades or running those seams. I think, they just don't do that as much as a lot of other teams do. One thing that I think you can get from this kid, and I think Nate said that he is out of practice, and we saw it a little bit last year, some of the hitch routes, some of the timing routes, that he can challenge people down the field with his speed and then stop and turn around and have that ball delivered. And, if you can get the timing on that, and he's got some decent hands. Now, yeah, he's dropped some passes, obviously, but everybody has. But, I think that all indications are that Alex Smith – And Conley have been on the same page all spring and summer, and they've been working together. And, hopefully there's a combination that can develop a little bit. But I do think that it would be nice to have a bigger body in the red zone where you have a guy that can run those mesh patterns across the field with some size and some body presence to catch the ball in the middle of the defense.
If he hasn't been signed yet, how good can he possibly be?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it was last year, I believe, as I was looking up the stats earlier today. I think he had 8 or 9 touchdowns last year. So, I mean, who had 8 or 9 touchdowns in the receiving corps for the Chiefs last year?
Who thinks that he's going to have 8 or 9 wearing a Chiefs uniform?
I don't know.
Do you? Because I do.
But if he's
I
there.
I do know. He's not. He's
but
not
if, but
going
if he,
to.
If he's
Nor
there,
is any can, other receiver on this team.
If he's there. And he's willing to come out here, and I don't think you're going to have to pay a ton of money for him. Why not give him an opportunity to come here and maybe see if he can squeeze another year of play out of this guy and have a guy that you hopefully can make some plays in the red zone for you. Right now, the Chiefs, they've got to get – it showed up against the Steelers. Now, yeah, there was a holding call in the 2-point conversion. They scored. But they've got to get better in the red zone. They've got to score touchdowns.
But seriously, this is what makes this year so frustrating and why I think very early on we're going to hear people calling for Pat Mahomes. It's not the guys catching the ball. Do you think it's the guys catching the ball?
No, but I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I don't think it's just the quarterback. I think a lot of it is also play calling.
Fine. The plays I'm fine with called. That. Is the same guy going to be calling plays?
Yeah, they
okay.
are. But,
with the same guy throwing in the ball?
But the guy that's calling plays, maybe if he had a person that he could think, well, okay, this guy can do this in this situation. I don't know if he had a lot of trust in the wire. I don't think last year that Alex Smith or Andy Reid really had a lot of faith and trust in the receiving core they had. Macklin was hurt. I think they have trust in Kelsey, and you saw that. I mean, Kelsey had a nice year. You had a bunch of other young guys that were running around out there at the wide receivers. Tyreek Hill is a young guy that really doesn't have a position yet, which I think that's something they have to develop. Is Tyreek Hill in a position? Yeah, that's nice to put him in the backfield and put him in a slot and then put him out at X, put him at the Y, on those kind of different things. But, let this kid be fair to this kid and give him an opportunity to kind of learn a spot and get good at a spot. You got Chris Conley is another guy who's a big X receiver, but, they just don't seem to – test him down the field. And then, you know, Albert Wilson, yeah, he's all right. I mean, you've got DeMarcus Robinson, you know, D'Anthony Thomas. I don't know. Is there any of those guys that stand out? Say, oh, my, there's, yeah, those are guys. We can make some big plays with a blank at wide receiver. I just don't see the blank. And I agree with you as far as the quarterback, but I think that I think that, listen, I'm one of those guys that, you know, I'm not going to bury Alex Smith, because there's a lot of things that go into not having success throwing the ball down the field, starting with the offensive line play. Yeah, at times last year.
But you know what? The Pro Football Focus grades, and they're not the end-all, be-all, and grading offensive line, I really take with a grain of salt when they do it, because without knowing what the blocking scheme was, what the protection plan was, I think it's hard. You can be like, well, that guy gave up a sack and he came from the left side. Well, if his job was to block down to the right, then a back or a tight end was supposed to get it, or the quarterback was supposed to be on a hot read and unloaded. And so it's not the left tackle's fault. I mean, so I take it all with a grain of salt. But, you know, he faced the least amount of pressure on third down. He had days like his worst day.
Because they get rid of the ball so quickly.
His worst day.
Part of it, too.
Okay. Then that's fine. Yeah. Then Andy Reid's still here. Then let's start talking about firing Andy Reid.
No, listen, the Chiefs last year, let's talk about up front. You know, they were up front. They're a good football team, and they're very athletic. They did struggle last year with one thing, and that was some of the movement and twists and stunts from defensive linemen. The guys were on and it got better as the year went on, but they struggled with that. And a lot of times when you're bringing, you know, TEs or ETs or tornadoes with guys coming around and threatening the middle of the pocket, the quarterback sees that stuff, and, you know, and Alex Smith, I thought, saw too much pressure last year. And
I disagree.
And there was times that he can try to get the ball down the field and said, no, I can't do it. And he threw it away, or threw it short, or threw it to somebody else. There were times when this offensive line struggled early, especially with some twists and some stunts and some different things that way. And I think we can all sit here. I mean, Alex Smith is easy to bury, is easy to pick on, but there's a lot of things that go into Alex Smith not being able to get the ball down the field.
It's not burying him. I resent that. I resent the fact that anytime you say they need to get better at quarterback, or Smith is just this guy, you're accused of burying the guy or hating the guy. I don't any of those things. But I watch the playoffs, and I see the other teams that keep playing, and their guy doesn't look like this guy. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And look, I know nobody at Arrowhead wants to think that's, you know, keep that cloak over it so nobody recognizes that. In reality, all we are is a team that can win some regular season games and beat the crappy teams. And if we run into another mid-level quarterback, we can beat them. But then it's over, because what do they sell every year? And look, this is why I say, when the Chiefs came back, they came back at that survey and said the Chiefs have the 32nd best fan base. Wrong. It's not an evaluation of the fan base. It's an if you want to, like, I would be happy with this. The Chiefs fans have the 32nd most confidence in their organization. Fine. And how do they show it? They show it by not being willing to pay high ticket prices, because their ticket prices are extraordinarily affordable in Kansas City. They show it by not really being – a combination of that and a combination of the game day experience isn't what it used to be because of how hard it is to get into the damn place and to get out. That's what the Chiefs need to look at and say to me. And it's what they did. It's what they did. It's why they made the move for Patrick Mahomes, is they looked at it and they looked at the fact that they can't sell that place out with some of the lowest ticket prices in the NFL, with fans that are clearly passionate, plenty of gear, plenty of, you know, people calling the shows on a Monday and postgame, but they can't get people out to the stadium. Why? Because selling the fans on a 10-win season that's going to crap in its shoes the moment you run into a playoff team doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
The fans of Kansas City have seen...
I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
They've seen the baseball team go and get it done. They know what that looks like now. And so it's not. The Chiefs don't get to swim in a morass of mediocrity because the Royals have raised the bar. And the fans are not going to pay to watch mediocrity. And it sucks that the game is truly what Vince Lombardi said it was. The ultimate team game, except the quarterback. He's too damn important. And they have an okay guy at the position that's too damn important. And that dooms them. It means Andy Reid can scheme his way past the other guys who can't scheme. They can beat those teams in the regular season, but then when it comes nut-cutting time and all the other middling guys are gone and you got to go see Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger. And look, I don't care what anybody wants to say. Oh, he outplayed Ben Roethlisberger because he threw touchdowns and Ben Roethlisberger didn't. Okay, fine. This one time he did. I don't agree with you because if we're going to sit and kiss Alex Smith's ass all day about how he doesn't throw picks, well, you know what? Ben Roethlisberger didn't kill his team. And he gave him a chance to get down there and keep kicking field goals. And all I know is that Chiefs finally started scoring when they were buried and the Steelers were leaning at the tape.
Well, I hate
the didn't piss a drop for a half.
I hate that somehow you got me defending Alex Smith. Well, now, I mean, this is like the most annoying conversation ever. Because I am not an Alex Smith defender.
I'm not asking you to defend him.
There's a lot that goes into just, you know, the success or the failure of the quarterback position. I disagree.
There really isn't.
Okay, well,
I'll tell you why.
I disagree.
Can you run out there? Can you take your Miege offensive line and Miege receivers out there and put them around Aaron Rodgers and win a Super Bowl? No, you can't. Okay? There is a minimum competency level. But anyone who's not a boob can find guys who can block serviceably and can find guys who can catch serviceably. All you need to do is see when a guy leaves the Hall of Fame quarterback what his numbers look like when he's not there, right? And then when the quarterback shows up, all of a sudden guys are heroic. Aaron Rodgers, look, Randall Cobb is a jag. He is a freaking jag in the NFL. But Aaron Rodgers is a surgeon. And he makes that guy. I don't know that there's much difference between Randall Cobb. And look, everyone's going to freak out on this. But I don't know if there's much difference between Randall Cobb and who's that 5'10 slot guy they run out there all the time?
Albert Wilson.
I don't know that there's any difference between those two guys. What I know is one works with a surgeon, and another guy works with a quarterback that needs his head coach to scheme him a high school freaking wide open for him to throw him the ball. And so, I'm fine. And, you know, look, and for us, for me and you doing a football segment, it sucks. Because, let's break down the wideouts. You know what? Let's not. Because we've done that for 40 years
in
this blanking town. And nothing's changed. It's one pedestrian quarterback after another. And yet we spend all this time and energy.
Well, now you go out and you get a quarterback in the first round. And believe me, there's a lot of people out there that they don't want to see this kid either. They're upset that they went move to get this kid, that he's got warts. And I've heard, well, you should see him in his rookie minicamp. He's throwing the ball, you know, horribly through an interception, blah, blah, blah. So they're starting on this kid already too. So, you know, that's the nature of the beast of the quarterback position. It really is. But, you know, I understand the premise where you're coming from. Listen, the quarterback is the most – there's no doubt the quarterback is the most important player on the field – and probably the most important player in the locker room, okay, is the most important player in the locker room. And my only contention is that, you know, you got to have some guys around him to give him an opportunity to have success. Your points are well taken. I think that Albert Wilson and Cobb are probably very similar. I don't think there's much difference in those guys. Would Conley be a better wide receiver if you had Aaron Rodgers? Probably. But, you know, we are stuck where we are, so why not try to put some more arrows in his quiver and see if, you know, we can find something, maybe we can find a connection, maybe a guy who can make a couple plays with some balls that aren't thrown very well or aren't thrown very are deep, and he can make a catch and make break some tackles. I don't know.
And I'll tell you why. Because he's not going to throw in the ball. Okay, that's why. He's not going to throw the guy the ball. And I doubt, and Anquan Boldin can't get high school wide open. What Anquan Boldin does is you throw it into traffic and he comes down with it. This guy won't throw in the ball. Why not go get another cover corner and go lights out on defense? Look, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, they're going to look like the Broncos 2 years ago. And that to me is the thing that they've never done with Alex Smith as an organization. Just sell out on the defensive side. It's what they end up having to do. They win games that their defense kicks ass in. Period.
Yeah.
Well, get a defense that kicks more ass. Because he's not going to do it. He's not going to go out there and go 450 with five touchdowns and no INTs. It's not going to happen. Yeah. So quit trying to build a team that has to win that way.
You're probably right. I hope you're wrong. I hope all of a sudden Alex Smith comes out and he's whipping the ball down the field and making plays. Then what would you say? Would you say this is an alternate universe?
I would cite the frog and the scorpion. The water's coming up. Scorpion says, hey, take me across the water. And the frog says, no, you'll sting me. I won't sting you. If I sting you, we'll both drown. So the frog says, okay, get on my back. And they head across the water. Halfway across, the scorpion stings the frog. And the frog says, what the hell are you doing? He said, I'm a scorpion. It's in my nature.
That's what we do.
It's what we do.
Yep.
At 32 years old, he is what he is.
Yeah. All right.
So get ready for check downs.
All right.
And win it on defense. Get more sacks.
Or say screw it and go Mahomes this year.
Or
which
begin,
I would be a proponent of.
Or begin the rebuild now. I mean, look, it's coming next year. Either Justin Houston or Alex Smith is getting cut.
Yeah. Oh, that. No,
or
that,
they're both doing a massive renegotiation.
And I think that that's the way Alex Smith goes.
I had somebody tell me that in Lake Tahoe, they were sitting next to him. Somebody comes over to me and says, I was just sitting next to Alex Smith, and he was having a conversation with people about the teams that will need him next year.
Really? Huh. Got to be careful what you say at those luncheons. Yeah, I heard that
the
Chiefs would not let him talk to local media, huh?
Well, until he sat down and talked to San Francisco. Then they made him talk to local media.
Oh, really?
Of course, I was gone, so I didn't get to ask him whether or not he feels emasculated for them not being confident enough in him that he can keep from embarrassing himself when I ask him questions.
And you know what? You were right. I mean, he's always represented the Chiefs well. He's a smart guy. He's not going to say anything stupid. I mean, why even put any kind of light on that situation at all? And you know, and why would the Chiefs just have a press conference to get this all over with? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. Have you been watching any of this media day down in the Big 12?
Yeah, Nate's down there. We'll hear from him in the 1 o'clock
hour.
I want to ask you about the KU and K-State schedules. That's coming up next with Tim Grunhard here in the program. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kansas Jayhawks, your former employer, one of many, has got a schedule that kind of stair-steps up through the first six games. Southeast Missouri at home, Central Michigan at home, at Ohio, who's picked to win their division by Phil Steele.
Ohio's a good
in the
football
MAC,
team.
At Ohio. West Virginia at home, who's picked just a couple of spots in front of Kansas. Bye week, Texas Tech at home.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think
then at Iowa State.
I think Nate said something about this when I was listening the other day, and I agree with him. I think the Central Michigan game is a litmus test of how this season's going to be. If they go and they take care of Central Michigan, I think they have an opportunity to be competitive against Ohio and maybe be a competitive and maybe try to sneak out a win against a Texas Tech. But you know, it really comes down to, you know, they've got to win those games. Like, you know, that's not easy. Central Michigan is not a bad football team. The MAC conference has gotten better and better, and I'll tell you why the MAC conference has gotten better and better, because the way this recruiting has gone with, you know, I'm going to get on my soapbox again with stat, you know, measurables over anything else. A lot of these guys have fall kind of between the cracks. Are good football players that end up at a lot of these MAC schools, and they can go and compete. Ohio is a heck of a football team. Ohio came in last year and kicked the crap out of KU and won a lot of football games.
I'll listen to the Ohio talk. Don't talk to me about Central Michigan. They're picked fourth in their division. Kansas needs to be.
Well, that's
Central
what I'm
Michigan.
Saying.
David Beatty needs
but
to be
sitting at
2-0.
But the MAC conference has gotten better. You have to admit the MAC has gotten better.
Yes, it has. But now let's come back to what we're talking about. Signs of progress. He needs to beat Central Michigan. I mean, look, we all get how hard it was, but at some point, win.
you're right.
Some games. So, to me, he's got seven games that they could win. Like I mentioned, Southeast Missouri, Central Michigan, at Ohio, West Virginia, Texas Tech, at Iowa State, and home for Baylor. They're not winning at TCU. They're not beating K-State at home. They're not winning at Texas. They're not winning at home against OU, and they're not winning at Oklahoma State. Now, could one of those teams have a really bad day and KU have a really good day and them winning? Yes, I would never say nothing's impossible. But realistically, there's seven games. Just because I don't know what the hell Baylor's going to be. And maybe they're going to get some really good coaching and there's still enough talent left from the days that they're going to be a lot better than I think. And maybe that game won't be winnable. Maybe Texas isn't near as good talent-wise as everybody said they were. Yeah, and Tom Herman, and they're going to suck this year. Who knows? Right? But I know this. Southeast Missouri and Central Michigan have to be wins.
Absolutely.
At Ohio, okay, tough spot. I'm not saying you got to win, but you can win it. And you can beat West Virginia and Texas Tech at home. You got to start gaining some momentum at some point. how many of those seven games should KU fans reasonably expect them to win? And I say the answer is four.
Yeah.
Minimum four wins this year.
I think expect, absolutely, that you have to expect them to win four games. I mean, you have to be the coaching staff and David Beatty, and I love David Beatty. I think he's a great guy. He's great for the university. His players love him. Great article today about the love of the player and the coach. But you know what? He, like you said, it's time now to win. You got to win some games. And you're right. And they have to win four games this year. And it really should be right off the bat. They should take care of winning four out of five right off the bat, because at the end, maybe you surprise somebody, like you said. But, you know, I think the KU fan would be pretty excited with a, you know, 3-1 record coming out of that.
First four?
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form? I agree. And then how about a 4-2 after Texas Tech and Iowa State?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And then find a way to steal one more and get to five.
Five would be an unbelievable job, and David Beatty might be up for Big 12 Coach of the Year.
Talk about it. And look, if Baylor's not any good, you steal a sixth.
If you get six, you're bowl eligible? Wow.
I mean, I think that should be the goal. If it's not the goal behind closed doors, even if you're like, well, this is a year early, man, you damn well better start putting that out in front of those people pretty soon.
The Hawks are bowl eligible. That'd be good. I'd like to hear that again.
Well, I mean, I you know, look, I get it.
It's a
massive rebuilding. I totally get it. And I'm not expecting the guy to go challenge for a conference championship. But, I mean, at some point, we got to see more than just baby steps. They got to take a big, fat step at some point. Otherwise, it's going to take 20 years before you're talking about this team winning nine games
again. You know what? I like their talent. Their defense is really, really good this year. And offensively, you know, the quarterback, like you said, the quarterback's the most important. Now you go down to that level, it's also very, very important. But defensively, Wise and Armstrong, that defense line is sharp. It's a good defensive line.
And if you can hit people.
Yep.
If you can hit the other team's quarterback, you ought to be decent.
Absolutely.
All right, Tim. Great stuff.
Right.
Talk to you soon.
Sometime.
Whenever your schedule permits us to schedule you.
Whenever.